We are so glad you've joined Baraka Church as Pastor Jonathan Smith continues the series, Redo. This series is all about using your past, no matter how convoluted it is, to improve your future. Don't you wish you could live life like a Netflix movie? Pause, fast forward, or rewind as needed? Today, we're hitting the pause button, evaluating our circumstances, and walking toward our best future.
We are in our second week of our sermon series, Redo. Last week, we talked about how religion has confused and muddied what Christianity is, how Christianity is simply following Jesus and taking one step after another. We talked about how we all have a next step to make in our spiritual journey. We talked about for some, it's maybe a commitment to attending church weekly. For some, it's beginning serving. For some, it may be beginning to give. For some, it may be inviting those in your circle of influence. And then we took the rest of our time last week and talked about what baptism is according to the Bible. For some, going public in baptism is your next step. And if you missed last week, I would encourage you to go back and listen to that. We will be having our next baptism on January 26th. We have 7 people that are going public, and we're excited about that. For some of you, your next step is to accept Jesus, what he did for you on the cross, and make him your Lord and your Savior. And we can celebrate today that during our Christmas services, we had at least 2 people accept Jesus Christ as Savior. And last Sunday, we had about 5 people that accepted Jesus Christ at Baraka Church. And so we celebrate that. And that's a big deal because, as we say often, every number has a name, every name has a story, and every story matters to God. And so we celebrate those things at Baraka Church. Today I want to start out by reading a verse, and then we're going to look at a passage in Luke chapter 15. So if you're turning in your Bible, a good place to be is Luke 15, but I want to read one verse before we get there. And if you're not a Christian, or you don't usually go to church, or you don't know how you feel about all of this, it's really an easy verse because, let's be honest, there are some verses in the Bible that are difficult to swallow, that are hard. It's a verse that we would refer to as a coffee mug verse. You may see this verse on a coffee cup or a bumper sticker or perhaps in a picture frame at a home or an office somewhere. It's a feel-good verse, and it's in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, it says this: I can do all things through him, and the him we're referring to there is Jesus. I can do all things through Jesus who strengthens me. I want to all read that verse together out loud in just a moment, but before we do, I want to tell you about the guy who wrote it. His name was Paul. And if you are not a Christian, you and Paul have something in common. The very first time that we meet Paul in the Bible, he was not a Christian. As a matter of fact, he was a religious person, but he was not a Christian. Much like many people in our country, really religious, but did not know Jesus. Paul most likely had the entire Old Testament memorized. He was deeply passionate about religion, but not Jesus. A guy by the name of Luke wrote a book and told us about Paul's story. He tells us about how Paul met Jesus and how Jesus changed his life. And Paul goes from, I hate Christians, to traveling around starting churches. He went from, I hate Christians, to, you need to become a Christian. You need to meet this person, Jesus. Paul did this thing for about 20 to 30 years. Religious people have always hated people who love Jesus. They begin to persecute Paul and ultimately put him into prison. I have been to the prison several times to visit and to do various things. And the prisons I have been in our country, it was clean. They were all taken care of. They were given food. But it was not a place that I would want to stay long term. No one today wants to be locked up in prison. But 2,000 years ago, the prison was one of the worst places you could have ever been. And it was in prison that Paul wrote these words. He wasn't at a resort. He wasn't just chilling. No one was bringing him venti white chocolate peppermint mochas with whip. He was in a prison in a really bad place. And he wrote this, and I want us to say it out loud together, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do all things through Jesus, through him who strengthens me. I want you to remember that, and we're going to come back to that in a few minutes. Here's the question I have for you today, just a simple, fun question. Like, if you could, like, whatever your dream car or vehicle would be, if money was not an option, payments were not an option, if you could, like, pick any car in the world or truck or anything, what would your dream vehicle be? Now, my son kind of turned me on to this several months ago, and I was kind of looking at it, and I have decided, like, my dream car, if money was not an object, would be a 2021 Ferrari SF90. The power comes from a massive V8 engine and three electric motors. The V8 engine in this thing generates 774 horsepower, and the three electric motors add another 212 horsepower, combining for a whopping 986 total horsepower in this car. This car has 590 pounds of torque. Now, I don't even know what all that means, but I know it's powerful. I do understand that it goes from 0 to 60 in 2.5 seconds. This car has more power and more potential than any car I've ever driven or even sat in. This car probably has more potential than probably any car that you have ever sat in. But imagine with me, money's no object, and I purchased this car. Like, I went out and I bought this car, and since we're imagining, would you like to see the car that I just got? Here it is. Here's the car. Isn't that a sweet ride? Like, that would be nice. That I could get to Marion pretty quick and back. I'm pretty sure. I could outrun any police that was chasing after me. I mean, I just purchased that car, and I drive it home, and I can tell that there's a problem with it. Let's pretend for a minute that you are a high-end mechanic. I know that's a stretch for most of you, but let's just pretend for a moment. You're a high-end mechanic, and so I take the car over to you, and I say, I can't believe it. Like, it's running a bit rough. You would think for $550,000, it would run a little bit smoother. Like, my Chevy Malibu ran smoother than this thing is running. And when I ride down the road, it vibrates a little bit, and it pulls to the left. And every time I get about 100 miles per hour, it's incredibly hard to keep it on the road. And you, as the high-end mechanic, you as the professional, you walk around the car, and it doesn't take you but a minute, and you say, oh, there's definitely an obvious problem with your car. And there's an obvious fix for the car. You have a flat tire. And if you change the tire, you fix the problem. But what if I say back to you, I don't think it's the tire. I think maybe it's the paint job. I think if we painted it black, I would feel better about myself. What if I painted the car? And you would say, you can paint the car purple or pink or yellow or black or whatever you want to paint it, but it's never going to run efficiently until you change that tire. What if I said, no, I just don't think the tire's the problem. And do you know what I think it needs? I think it needs a brand new stereo system. As a matter of fact, I would like to find something that has everything from Bluetooth to 8-tracks. I mean, it'll play anything that I have. And so I'm going to go find a stereo and put this thing in there. And you would tell me, you can go get a stereo. You can get 10 stereos if you want. You can put them all in the car and install them. But it's never going to run to its full potential if you do not fix the tire. What if I said, I just don't see that. I feel like I'm wasting your time. The problem obviously is the state of Ohio. Like, it's not built for cold weather. I think I need to move somewhere warmer. I think maybe if I move to LA or Miami, it would fix the problem. If I could just get this car into a different location, I think it would solve the problem and run smoothly. And you would say, obviously, listen, you're being ridiculous. I don't care if you take it to Miami or LA or Jamaica or the Bahamas or Africa. You can go anywhere where it's warm, but it's not going to run effectively and efficiently unless you fix that tire. Now, everybody listening today can understand the problem. Right? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out if the problem is the tire. It doesn't matter what you do cosmetically or mechanically to that car. It's not going to fix the problem. We understand that. With that in mind, let me ask you a question. What is your flat tire? What is your flat tire? What's the one thing in your life that needs to get repaired? What's the one thing in your life that needs to be changed? And if you just thought, I hope my husband is listening, your flat tire is probably self-righteousness or arrogance. If you are listening to this message saying, I hope somebody else is listening or is online today hearing this, you have already missed it. What is your flat tire? Because you know what we do? We say, I see what my flat tire is, but just like changing the paint color, I think if I just change the way I look, I'm going to get a new wardrobe. I'm going to get a new hairstyle. I'm going to get a new tattoo. Those things would make me feel better about myself. And we want to change the external, but if we don't fix the tire, at the end of the day, we still have a flat tire. Some people say, I like gadgets, so I'm going to get the new phone that just came out, or I'm going to upgrade my computer, or I'm going to get the new gaming system. It'll make my life so much easier and better. But no gadget in the world can make up for the fact that if you have a flat tire in your life, spiritually, it needs to be fixed. I know people who say, I need a new marriage. This one isn't working out for me. I need a new family. I need to relocate. I'm having problems here. And if I went there, I wouldn't have that problem. But if you go there, you take you with you everywhere you go. So if you have a flat tire, you haven't fixed the problem. You have simply relocated it. So what is your flat tire? You may be thinking, I need to walk out right now, or I need to turn off my mobile device because I know what my flat tire is, and there is no way it could ever change. And I would remind all of you that we just said out loud together, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There is no asterisk in that verse that says that your problem is too big for God. It doesn't say I can do all things except for my things through Christ who strengthens me. It doesn't give you an exemption of your things. It says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Luke tells us a story in Luke 15, a story that whether you are from a church background or not, you are probably familiar with this story. There's so much in this story. It's jam-packed full of stuff. There's so much in this story that I'm not going to deal with today because I want to focus on one phrase in this story that I want us to notice today. And some of you have had a flat tire for weeks. Some of you have a flat tire for months or for years. Some of you don't have a flat tire. You would say that I have four flat tires, and the spare tire, I'm pretty sure, is flat too. I understand, but we have to start somewhere. And making progress begins by changing one thing in our life that we know has to be changed. So I want to walk through how making a fresh start in 2021 begins today. How we can redo and make a better 2021. In order for a fresh start to happen, we have to, number one, see it as necessary. We have to see it as necessary. People have to be willing to admit that the tire is flat and that it has to be changed. I mentioned the car has over 900 horsepower and that it has more potential than most of us have ever driven. But did you know that you were custom designed by the creator of the universe? That you have way more value in you than any car out there. That there is more potential in you than that car. Just like that car cannot run to its maximum potential unless the tire gets changed and fixed, you and I cannot run to our maximum potential until we deal with the thing God is putting his finger on in our life. The thing God is saying, this has got to change. It's not about you becoming a better person. It's about you and I becoming the person that God created us to be. We have to see it as necessary. So Luke chapter 15, verse number 11 says, "And he, being Jesus, and Jesus said there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them." Everyone listening to Jesus tell this story would have been shocked right here. The sons would get the estate when the father died. So the younger son was basically saying, "Dad, I wish you were dead. Die, old man. I want what is mine. You are as good as dead to me." Verse 13, not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. He was in a place where he didn't belong. Verse 14, "And when he had spent," how much? "Everything." When he had spent everything, sin will always cost you more than you ever thought it would cost you. "And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need." A severe famine. You can't control what happens to you. You can't control what happens around you. We understand that better today than we did a year ago. You can't control a global pandemic. He didn't see the famine coming, but the Bible says a severe famine came, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. To a Jewish person in this culture, that would have been one of the grossest things imaginable. Pigs were deplorable animals to a Jewish person. And pigs were horrible. They were awful. The very fact that this guy wanted to eat pig food was the absolute lowest he could go. This is what we would call the ultimate flat tire. Verse 17, "But when he came to himself." In other words, when he came to his senses, when he woke up. That phrase is the phrase that changes everything. "But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger.'" The Bible makes it really clear that the boy came to his senses and said, "This may be the way things are right now, but this is not the way that things have to be. I have got to make a change in my life." He saw a change as necessary. And people who are in horrible situations cannot be helped until they admit that they're in a horrible situation. Things will never change as long as we call the flat tire an issue that I'm having. Things will never change as long as we call the flat tire something that we're working through or something I'm praying about. For instance, if I see a person on the side of the road with a flat tire and they have their hands up on the hood and they're praying over their car, would you think that was normal? I'd say no. Like I would say, listen, I have an idea. I'm going to pull up and I'm going to talk to him, and I'll go up and I have a great idea for you. How about you stop praying? How about you go to your trunk? How about you get your jack out and your spare tire? How about you go to where the tire's flat, jack up the car right in that place? How about putting the spare tire on there? How about doing something instead of asking God to do something you already know to do? We've got to see change as necessary, because we will not change until we see it as necessary. You say, "Jonathan, I know the change has to take place, but it's not easy." It wasn't easy for this guy either. He was in a far country. He was far away from home. He was in the middle of a famine. He was broke. He was eating in a pig pen and living in a pig pen. He was lower than he ever thought he could go. But the Bible says he came to his senses. He came to himself. Just because change is necessary does not mean it's easy, which is why I need his strength in me, which is why I need Jesus' strength in me. And here's the bad news. If you are listening today and you don't have Jesus in your life, You can't change. You can give the world a new and improved version of you, but that new version is still going to be incomplete compared to what Jesus can do inside of you. We all need his strength to help us change and become everything he created us to be. But if you have Christ inside of you, anything and everything can change. And until we see it as necessary, it's not going to happen, which leads to number two. Number two is take responsibility. Like, we have to take responsibility. If we're going to change, we have got to take responsibility. There are three main reasons that I can think of where we could end up having a flat tire. Number one, we could flatten our own tire. Like, we could go out to our vehicle and take a knife and stick it in our tire. And I'm not sure why anyone would do that, but we do it to ourselves spiritually pretty often. The second reason is somebody else can flatten your tire. I did that once. I thought it'd be funny. So while my best friend in high school was taking his new girlfriend out on a date, I drove down to the place where they were eating, the Music Palace in Cincinnati, and I released the air in one of his tires. Looking back, I was an awful friend. I'm not sure why I did that at all. I mean, that was awful, but I did it. Somebody else can flatten your tire. Number three is circumstances. Something happens that is out of your control. I can remember several years ago, before I even saw it coming, there was a huge pothole, and I hit it going about 40 miles per hour, and circumstances, that pothole flattened my tire. It doesn't matter if it's circumstances in your life. It doesn't matter if it's somebody else letting the air out of your tire or you flattened your own tire. Until you and I take responsibility for the tire, it's never going to get fixed. So what do you mean? Notice in the story, the younger son didn't lay in the pig pen and say, "All this is my dad's fault. My dad should have never, ever given me the inheritance. He should have never given me what I wanted. He should have known better. He should have known that this was going to happen. And I'm going to blame my mom too, because my mom should have talked my dad out of it. And I'm going to blame my brother because we never got along anyway. And part of the reason I wanted to get out of there is because of him. He was always the favorite child. He got everything. I got nothing. And the reason I got a flat tire is because my life has been so hard." If he had not taken responsibility, do you know what the story would have been? Jesus would have said, there was a young man who went off to a far country, and spent all he had, and ended up in the pig pen, and there he died. The thing about taking responsibility is, if it is your flat tire, you have to take responsibility. Everyone in this room has a sad story about something that somebody did to you. And I don't say that lightly. I'm not making fun of anybody. As a pastor, I listen to people tell me stories that break my heart. I know what it's like to weep with people who weep. There are people in this room, there are people listening online, that you have been used and abused. There are things done to you that are horrible. There are incredibly hard circumstances that many of you have faced of no fault of your own. And you can't control things that have happened to you, but you can control your attitude from this point on. Amen. You have got to take responsibility. When somebody comes along and flattens your tire, Jesus can help you change everything. You just have to be willing to take responsibility. The boy in this story, he didn't see the famine coming. It was an external circumstance. By the way, way too often we make excuses. This is just the way I am. This is just what I need. This is just the way I talk. This is just what I do. You know me, it's who I am. I mean, it's me. If you don't like it, too bad. I have a reason to be angry. Like, I was born this way. And of course you were born that way. You were born messed up. You know what? We were all born messed up. We were all born sinners. I used to have a really bad anger problem when I was a child growing up. mom and dad would go away for the evening, and I can remember my siblings and I would have World War III through 35. I mean, we would blow it all up. And if you made me angry enough, I wanted to hit you, and I wasn't satisfied with just one hit. I would hit my siblings, I would put them down on the ground, and then I would jump on top of them and give their face rug burn while I smeared it into the carpet. And my excuse was, well, you shouldn't have made me mad. Right? I was just born that way. We may have been born that way, but when we meet Jesus, we're not reborn that way. That is not supposed to be normal in your life. I know you have childhood issues that you're angry about. I know some of you that there are things in your life that have bothered you. I know people have hurt you. I know people have abused you. I know there's people in this room that were molested as a child. I know you saw things as a child that you wish you had never seen. I know your mom was an addict. I know your dad was a drunk. I know that he walked out on you. I know your past church burns you and hurts you. But you know what? Until you take responsibility for that flat tire and say, that situation hurt me. Yes, that situation harmed me, but I'm not going to let it hurt me or harm me for the rest of my life. Because I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And I refuse to let it hold me back. Somebody has to take responsibility. Somebody has got to stop being a victim, because victims never walk in victory. We follow a man who was crucified and buried, and 3 days later, he came out of the tomb to show us that we can walk out of any situation the world throws our way if we will simply say, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Number three, we have to live obediently. We have to live obediently. If we want change to come into our life, we have to live obediently. What is your flat tire? Some of you, your flat tire is the person you're dating right now. You know you shouldn't be in that relationship. Some of you, your flat tire may be the abuse of drugs and alcohol. Some of you, your flat tire may be the abuse of food. See, when we start calling the flat tire specific things, it gets really tense. Some of you, your flat tire may be the pornography addiction. For some of you, it may be the affair. It may be the temper. Maybe it's being an enabler to someone else. Maybe refusing your next step. But all of us have something in our life that needs to change. And if you will tell Jesus, I'm tired of living this way, I can't promise you that your circumstance will be better automatically. I can't promise you that you'll walk out today and the check will be in the mailbox. I can't tell you that your family member that's sick will be well. I can't tell you that your cat will be dead. I can't tell you any of those things. But what I can tell you is God will step in and be able to help you and give you strength. Everybody wants that. I want that. But there is no magic pill. Because beautiful things take time to grow. I know that can be so discouraging. I know people that have messed up their marriage. And for the past 10 years, it's been a mess. And it's been hanging on by a thread for 10 years. I mean, it's just been a disaster. And so they say, I want to do everything possible to fix my marriage. And so they have a sit-down conversation. And they're both all in agreement. And they decide, hey, we're going to give it 100% both. And for the next 10 days, they really work on their marriage. And at the end of the 10 days, they say, I'm done with this. There's no use of trying. See, I told you it wasn't going to be worth it. When it took 10 years to get to the place you're at. It's not going to be fixed in 10 days. Let's just read the rest of the story, because this living obediently stands out in it. In verse 18, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And we need to stop right there, because that is incredible. He's laying in the pig pen. He's at rock bottom, and he comes to his senses. He stops blaming everyone else. He stops blaming everything around him. And with great humility, he says, "This is part of my life, but this has to change. I can no longer continue to go down this path." And the hardest step towards change is always the first step. It's always the first step. I don't know how long it's going to take me to get home. I don't know how long it's going to, I don't know what it's going to be like when I do get home. I don't know how mom's going to respond or dad's going to respond. I don't know what is going to happen to me along my journey home, but I'm going to get out of this pig pen and take a step. And every time someone tries to talk me out of it, every time circumstances come up against me again, I'm going to take another step. I don't know if it's going to take 3 months to get home or 3 years to get back, but when I doubt, I'm going to take another step. I don't know how my father's going to react. I don't know how my mother's going to react. I don't know how my brother's going to react, but I know what I need to do is to take another step forward. I believe if somebody here is going to be obedient to God, you are going to have to take a step towards change. And that step is to say, I have got to change. This has to change in me. I can no longer continue to do this or live this way. I can't tell you what your journey will be like, but I can tell you what the end of your journey will be like. In verse 21, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion. God's not mad at you today. He feels compassion for you. His father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. See, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how far you've gone. God loves you. The Heavenly Father cares about you. He has compassion for you. He welcomes you home. I want to show you something back in verse 22. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And notice he says, bring quickly the best robe. The boy was dirty. The boy had been living in the pig pen. The boy had a dirty robe on. I'm sure the boy wanted to change the robe before he got home. I'm sure he wanted to clean himself up and change him, but the boy couldn't change the robe because he had no power or authority to change the robe. Only when he got back in right relationship with his father, the father put a brand new robe on him. The father changed him and cleaned him up. The father put a ring on his finger. The father put sandals on his feet. The father changed him all because the boy said, I'm going to take one more step. Because as the boy was walking towards his father, the father was waiting for him to return and was running towards him. The father wasn't running towards him to judge him or condemn him. The father was running towards him saying, my son is home. I can't wait to get him in my arms again because the change he needs in his life is the change I can bring into his life. But the change only comes as a result of you and I saying, I'm coming home. I'm making a change. I can't keep doing what I'm doing. I'm tired of living this way. And if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, God did not intend for you to live that way. For the person that needs to change and thinking, I can't do it. Like, I can't do it. I've lived this way for years. I would remind you, I can do all things through him who strengthens me.
Thank you for joining Baraka Church today. It is our sincere hope that you are blessed with a more peaceful and enriched life. We can be found on the web at placeofblessing.org, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or come worship with us. at 2440 U.S. Highway 23 North in Delaware, Ohio. Baraka Church, a place of blessing.